you, Tiffany. That was worth waiting on. Amen. We appreciate the good message and song. Bow the knee. Amen. Boy, we got a stiff-hearted civilization today that don't want to bow the knee, but that day of everybody bowing is coming before long. It sure is. Well, it's Wednesday night and Bible study time. Go with me to the Old Testament. The Apostle Paul said the things written aforetime were written for our admonition, our example and our admonition. And I want to go to a story that's familiar with you, and I'm going to rush through it a little bit, make a few applications. That's the story of Gideon as we go to Judges chapter 6. I'd like to read every verse, and what I'm not going to do is do that. I'm going to talk to you and tell the story a little bit, read some verses, and try to cover much of the chapter. I want to talk to you a little bit on what I want to glean from this story tonight is basically getting to the bottom of the truth. We'll do that here as we make application in the story. But we're in a day and time where truth is being sacrificed totally on the altar of deception and political correctness and all that business today. But it amazes me how the media will not ask what the truth of a thing is, but they fuss about the way it's stated, or a gaffe or a mistake in a word, instead of getting to the truth of the issue. What is the truth? Now, that's being ignored. Getting to the bottom, find out what the truth is. I think about the rabbi that came over to America in the pioneer days. He was dismayed as he came because he looked around and he saw a lot of wimpy men. He would be dismayed today, by the way. But he came over in the pioneer days, and so he set out to prove the point, I guess, to get to the truth of it. He set out going farmhouse, ranch house, down the road, different ones. And he'd come up, and when the man and woman would come out, he said to him, he said, "I'm making a survey. I'm wanting to find out basically who is the boss in the home." Now, he said, "I got some horses and some chickens." And he said, "If the man's the boss, makes the decisions, he gets a horse. But if it's the wife that makes the decisions, then you get a chicken." Well, the first man he come to spoke up and said, "Well, I'm the boss. I'll take a horse." And the rabbi said, "Well, here's three of them, a black one, a red one, and a white one. Which one do you want?" He said, "I'll take the black one." His wife said, "No, honey, the white one." So he turned to the rabbi and he said, "Okay, I'll take the white one." He said, "You don't get him, you get a chicken." And getting to the bottom of the truth, amen. Kind of smoking things out, we used to say as country boys. I want us to look here in Judges chapter 6 and verse 1. "And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them into the hand of the of Midian 7 years." Now, the context, Judges here, following Joshua, some of them good, some of them bad. Israel was being blessed unto some, and here in verse 1 it tells us they're in trouble now. They're being enslaved again, conquered again by the Midianites. And why? It tells us very clearly here they did evil in the sight of the Lord, and it brought a judgment on them. Now, you can go over today and see the next verse, verse 2. You can see a time when Israel dug holes in the mountainside and made them dens and caves, and they kind of had to live in them. They were dodging the enemy. Then you get down into the food crisis here in chapter, in the same chapter, verse 3 and 4. Verse 4, they encamped against them and destroyed the increase of the earth. Now, here's what the Midianites would do. They'd watch the Israelites sow the field, work the field, but by the time of harvest, here they'd come and they'd take the food supply. And so the Israelites were in bad shape under the rule here of the Midianites. And we move on down just a little bit, and this is the condition that they were in. Verse 6, "And Israel was greatly impoverished because of the Midianites, and the children of Israel cried unto the Lord." Isn't it amazing when we get hurt bad enough, we can get to the bottom of calling to the Lord? That's where the tire meets the road. Amen. So here they are. They did evil. Now, what was their evil? Their basic evil was turning to idols, to Baal worship. It amazes me as I read the Old Testament how God can deliver them, bless them, and they fall again, and he has to do it again. And every time, almost every time, it's putting another God ahead of the true God. Move on just a little bit further here. They're impoverished. They cry out to the Lord. And verse 8, and the Lord sent a prophet. Now, he's unnamed. Lord sent a prophet unto the children of Israel, which said unto them, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I brought you up from Egypt and brought you forth out of the house of bondage. I delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians and out of the hand of all that oppressed you, and drave them out from before you, and gave you their land. And I said unto you, I am the Lord your God. Fear not the gods of the Amorites, in whose land you dwell. You then look at it. One word. Boy, this is such an important word in the Bible. B-U-T. Cross the street. Change the subject. He done all this. He blessed them. He delivered them from the Egyptians. He told them, you don't have to fear the tribes of the land where their gods. Then he says, but ye have not obeyed my voice. Where'd they get in trouble? Not heeding the word of God. Not hearing the voice of the Lord. Not obeying him. So in verse 11, there came an angel of the Lord. Now watch the terminology. Angel of the Lord. And sat under an oak. Now, under in this area is the area here of Gideon. And Gideon is threshing wheat, you know the story, by the wine press. I often call him a bootlegger because he was hiding a whiskey still. In this case, a wine press, to hide it from the Midianites. There he was, and all of a sudden there's a man sitting over on the tree. He looked like a man. The Bible says here he's the angel of the Lord. Later on, we'll watch the terminology in the verses, and it'll change to describing him as the Lord. And he'll use the capital letters. It's talking about more than just an angel. It's talking about deity here. And so here the man sitting on the tree, and he speaks up strangely down to Gideon, verse 12, and the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, the Lord, watch it in your King James, capital L, O-R-D, the big letters, is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. Now, we've all supposed Gideon must have looked over his shoulder to see who was there he didn't know. But Gideon said unto him, O my Lord, little Lord here now, if the Lord is with us, why then is all this befallen us? And where be all his miracles which our fathers told us of, saying, did not the Lord bring us out of Egypt? But now the Lord hath forsaken us. You know, it's so easy to get around to blaming God. Well, he did deliver us. I heard what Grandpa said about it, but he's forsaken us now. Had God forsaken them? No. What had they done? They had brought the judgment on themselves. They had disobeyed God. And it says, verse 14, and the Lord. Now, it's not the angel of the Lord, it's the Lord. See the big letters, capital letters? And the Lord looked upon him, on Gideon, and said, go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have not I sent thee? Watch the doubt that comes in now with Gideon. And he said unto him, O my Lord, wherewith shall I save Israel? Behold, my family is poor in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house. The Lord said unto him, surely I will be with thee, and thou shalt smite the Midianites as one man. And he said unto him, if, see the doubt? If now I have found grace in thy sight, then show me a sign. Remember the scripture says the Jews always wanted to see a sign. They're not by themselves. We like to do that today too. I might not ought to confess this, especially in front of the crowd I'm in front of. But down in the last verses of this chapter, which I won't refer to again, verse 36 through the last verse 40, we find Gideon putting out a test to the Lord, still asking for a sign. Now, the Lord's going to give him a sign here. He's going to cook a bunch of food. He's going to bring it out. to the angel. Now, what did he expect? Did he want to see if he was a man or God? He figured if I bring him, I bring him out some beefsteak and some unleavened cakes, or lamb steak, whatever it was, bring it out there to him. I'll see if he eats like a man or who he is or what. And he's asked for a sign, but he's still in doubt. And he brings the food out, and the angel of the Lord tells him to put the food on top of a rock. Remember here in the next few verses? Somebody got blank looks like you never heard of this before. It's in the Bible. Been in a long time, folks. Verse 21, then the angel of the Lord put forth the end of the staff that was in his hand. Now here he sits on the tree. He's got a staff like a shepherd or a walking stick. He's looking very much like a man. And yet he takes the stick and he touches the flesh and the unleavened cakes. And there rose up a fire out of the rock and consumed the flesh and the unleavened cakes. Then the angel of the Lord departed out of his sight. You think by this time Gideon might have thought it was the Lord? How much more is it going to take? You'd think that'd have been enough. But when you get to the end of the chapter, you still find him trying to get another sign from the Lord. How many of you know what that was? Oh, come on. It's going to take all night here if I got to teach you the whole chapter. Come on down to verse 36, the end of the chapter. Gideon said unto God, if thou wilt save Israel by mine hand, as thou hast said. Again, he's got the if in there. Behold, I will put a fleece of wool in the floor. And if the dew be on the fleece only, and it be dry upon all the earth beside, then shall I know that thou wilt save Israel by mine hand, as thou hast said. Now, he's got to do something big, and he's wanting to make sure God is going to keep his promise. He's asking for another sign. You read the verse, he rose up early in the morning, thrust the fleece together, and I get two pages stuck together here. Here we go. And ringed, how many know what that is? That's a scientific word. Ringed. Hey, ladies, before washing machines, there were ringers. And before there were motor-driven ringers, there were still ringers. And the ringers was the hands, amen? All right, he ring the dew out of the fleece, a bowl full of water, verse 38. You think that was satisfying? He said, now, Lord, don't let the dew be on the grass. Just let it be on the fleece. Now, what was the fleece? It was a sheepskin. It was a little bit like what we'd think of a throw rug. And he's got it laying out here, and it's so wet, he picks it up and wrings the water out, catches it in a bowl, and yet the grass isn't wet with dew. Wouldn't that be enough? But it's not enough for Gideon. And you know what? It's not enough for us most of the time today. Verse 39, Gideon said unto God, let not thine anger be against me, and I will speak but this once. Let me prove, I pray thee, but this once with the fleece. Let it now be dry only upon the fleece, and upon all the ground let there be dew. And God did so that night, for it was dry upon the fleece only, and there was dew on all the ground. Now, I'm criticizing Gideon a little bit. But when I was fighting my battle with the Lord over being called to preach and getting out of my business and going to seminary, I don't know if I ever let my wife even know this, but in all my prayer and anguish over that, I got up one night and got a throw rug. It probably wasn't wool. It was probably nylon, or it might have been cotton. I don't know what it was. Might have been wool. And I went out right side the carport, and I pulled a Gideon. I said, dear Lord, I got to know. And you want to know how it turned out, don't you? In heaven, you'll find out. But I did do it. Right or wrong, and I think mostly wrong, I did do it. And nevertheless, to say, I'm still preaching, amen. But come on back with me to the chapter. Now, some of you, I can see the look on your face. Don't do that. Or if you do it with some of our rugs around here, please put them back in. Don't get them dirty, amen. All right. Come on back to the chapter. I really messed up on that, didn't I? Come on back to the chapter. And he's tested the Lord. He's got the sign here. And we pick it up in about... verse 22, and when Gideon perceived, Watch the word perceived. Perceive that he was an angel of the Lord. He still had doubts, but now he's perceived it. I mean, when he saw the fire come out of the rock and take all that food he'd prepared, man, now he perceived that he was an angel of the Lord. Gideon said, "Alas, O Lord God, for because I have seen an angel of the Lord face to face." He knew he was in trouble as a sinner, facing the glory of God. And he's crying out. He's fearing now for his life. Verse 23, "And the Lord said unto him, Peace be unto thee. Fear not, thou shalt not die. And Gideon built an altar there unto the Lord and called it Jehovah Shalom," which basically Jehovah's peace. "Unto this day it is yet in Ophrah of the Abizarites." And it says this day. Well, it might be if an archaeology found it, but maybe not this day, but the day this scripture was written and recorded, it was there. Verse 25, "And it came to pass the same night that the Lord said unto him, Take thy father's young bullock, even the second bullock of 7 years old, and throw down the altar of Baal." What was their sin? All right, here's Israelites with an altar of Baal. Here's Gideon's daddy and all of his servants, and they got an altar of Baal. Man, they're supposed to be worshiping the Lord Jehovah. Gideon says, "Where be the Lord God?" Well, the question is, why is Baal sitting out here on your property? Got a false god there. And notice what he did. He was told, "It came to pass that night the Lord said unto him," here's his orders now, "Take thy father's young bullock, even the second bullock of 7 years old, throw down the altar of Baal that thy father hath," who has? Thy father, Gideon's father hath, "and cut down the grove that is by it." Now sometime in the scripture you'll find grove is trees. And you'll find again they wove curtains and had types of curtains in some of the false altars, false gods, and you'll find that's also spoken of as a grove. Anyway, verse 26, "And build an altar unto the Lord thy God, and build an altar unto the Lord thy God upon the top of this rock in the ordered place, and take the second bullet and offer a burnt sacrifice with the wood of the grove which thou hast cut down. Then Gideon took 10 men of the servants of, and did as the Lord had said unto him. And so it was because he feared his father's household and the men of the city." Now he feared them. He was obeying the Lord. He took some servants with him. He was scared. So what did he do? "That he could not do it by day, that he did it by night." I'll give him credit. He did do it. But he did it secretly. Of course, the secret was out pretty quick. Verse 28, "And when the men of the city arose early in the morning, behold, the altar of Baal was cast down, and the grove was cut down that was by it. And the second bullock was offered upon the altar that was built." Now the altar to the Lord. "And they said one to another, Who hath done this thing? And when they inquired and asked, they said, Gideon, the son of Joash, hath done this thing. Then the men of the city said unto Joash, Bring out thy son, that he may die, because he hath cast down the altar of Baal, and because he hath cast down the grove that was by it." And Joash, the father now, got to be proud of him. He's the one that had to condone the altar being out there, but he switches. "And Joash said unto all that stood against him, Will ye plead for Baal? Will you ye save him? He that will plead for him, let him be put to death while it is yet morning. If he be a god, let him plead for himself." Now here's what I want to talk about a little bit tonight. I want to park here a little bit. If he be a god, let him plead for himself, because this hath been done, hath cast down his altar. Now here's the thought, folks. Here's the problem, and here's the answer to the mess we're in, both in America and especially now overseas. Our foreign policy is burning up over there right now. America's in a heap of trouble. I've watched politics a long time. I've watched the news a long time. Through the years, I've never seen such a mess as we're in right now. You know what the problem was here? The problem was here, they had a god set up that was a false god, and their rules was you kill anybody that messes with him. Does that sound familiar? It ought to sound familiar. You see, Gideon feared because he knew the penalty. He knew for what he was going to do was going to be the penalty of death according to, we could call it today, their Sharia law, the law of their religion. As we look around today, what we're seeing in the world today is the problems of religion and our state house from Washington throughout its bureaucracies don't understand what's really going on behind it. They can't get a hold of it. They can't get it. This is a false religion driving the terrorism, driving the foolishness, driving the murder. I mean, to have our ambassador, no country, you read in your Bible, when one nation attacked another nation's ambassador, it was war. And in the early days, it could not be heard of. I remember somewhere over there in the Muslim-type countries, I remember when England was, they said the sun didn't go down on the kingdom of England. England was big with all the colonies and so forth. And over there somewhere in one of these countries, the pagans got a hold of one of their ambassadors, and they let him out before the firing squad. Let out a British man before the firing squad, and the ambassador came out with a Union Jack, with a English flag, and wrapped the man in the flag and said, put a bullet hole in it, I dare you. And they didn't, because England would have come after him. You know what, America's become a paper tiger now. We have no claws left. We have nobody fearing us anymore. All they want out of us is to stroke the golden duck and get some more tax money. And that's what they're getting. The problem today is religion. Now, there's no religion like the one that we're dealing with that's driving things today. I've known the case of where a Jew got saved, and he was disowned by the family, but not killed, but disowned. I've known a case or two where Catholics did the same thing. Sonia and I had been married only days, maybe weeks at the most. And a girl that she'd witnessed to some had gotten saved. And one night we heard a knock on the door and opened the door. And here was this girl standing there. She had nowhere to sleep that night because mom and dad, who were devout Catholics, had found out she'd gotten saved. And they had disowned her. But they didn't kill her. And I can't remember the rest of the story right now, whether there was ever any reconciliation or not. But not so with Islam. Islam chops off the heads. Islam kills. Islam murders. And right now we see in great nations, far as power goes, the nation of France right now is closing its embassies, calling in its ambassadors. Why? Because some cartoons against Mohammed was put in the paper. They use the excuse of this video here in America that somebody made out in California. By the way, it was a Coptic Christian, and it wasn't the video so much itself, but the information that he gave. And hey, the information he gave on the trailer, you can get out of their old books if you study what Muhammad was. But anyway, by this fanatical, false religion, they are now, did you see today, Egypt is calling for the arrest of Terry Jones, who's the Pentecostal preacher that threatened to burn the Quran here in Florida. They're calling for his arrest all the way from Egypt. They're calling for the arrest of these Coptic Christians that put out this video. America is being asked to arrest them and send them to Egypt for trial because they have blasphemed the prophet. Now, you know what? That would be a joke, except America's done so many stupid things. I'm not so sure those folks are safe tonight. Isn't that a sad thing to say? But it's the truth. It's the truth. Now, calling to arrest them. Now, you know what they're doing right now? The main media is covering up what's going on in Egypt, what's going on in Libya, covering it up big. They're saying the ambassador died of smoke and inhaling the smoke when the building was on fire. All the underground news is saying that's not so. Even the president of Libya said it was a military-type terrorist attack. It was not a spontaneous generation of a mob. And the underground news is saying they mutilated the ambassador. Some bad things I won't even say. I don't know if that's true. But it would be true because that's what they've done to others. When Gaddafi himself, the president of Libya, when he was deposed, when our State Department went against him, and when he was brought down, as bad as he was, it's not as bad as it is tonight. But his body was mutilated. And some of it they showed on TV before they cut it off. Hey, we are dealing with a satanic, inspired, anti-Christ movement trying to take over the world. That's what we're dealing with. It's amazing. But what is more amazing is how we're trying to appease it. How we're trying to hide it, overlook it, justify it, coddle it. All of that business. There's liberals in this country right now in high places wanting us to go under Sharia law. Under Sharia law, we'd have to send these people over to Egypt and let them be killed. Say, well, what would they do to them? They've already said, because they're doing it now. I hold in my hand tonight the Quran, so-called. That's an English translation, and they got more than one. But what I'm fixing to read to you in English is already being practiced right now in Egypt. And if we were to send anybody to them, or if they find any dissenters over there that they can get a hold of, and Christians now are being told to get out of there because they're being imprisoned and they're being killed. And guess what else? They're being crucified. Not only the sword chopping them off. And they use the crucifixion justification from the 5th chapter, verse 33 of the book of Quran, their so-called holy book. And let me read you the verse. You have to listen close to it. And here's the judgment being passed by the prophet, supposed to be Muhammad, as the prophet of Allah. It says, only the recompense of those who war against God. Guess who they think's warring against God? You and I, we're called infidels. Only the recompense of those who war against God and his apostle, who's his apostle, Muhammad, and go about to commit disorders on the earth, shall be that they shall be slain or crucified, or have their hands and feet cut off. That's just one verse in one chapter. There's more verses in here that you can look up, like chapter, surah is the word, surah chapter 5, surah means chapter. And over in surah chapter 8, you can find more of this. Now, this is what is being practiced over there, not 200 years ago, not 1,000 years ago, but today. Today, now. There are people over there in prison. There are people right now having heads chopped off and hands and cut off. And yes, crucified. And they're crucifying them very regularly. And when's the last time you saw that on the news? In fact, you'll get more truth by listening to their threats, Islam's threats, than you will what is clarified for us over here. I didn't think any news outlet could get any more liberal, biased, out of balance than NBC. But CNN has just about topped them. Moving to the left. You better be careful. It's one great big commercial for the viewpoint of the left in this country. And it's going to work. I hate to tell you this, but it's going to work. And you know why it's going to work? Because there's a dumb crowd out there listening. You help yourself. I'm going to still exercise the freedom of speech as long as I can, but I want to tell you, it's tightening up. It's closing up, brother. You got to be very, very careful now of what you can say. I mean, it's amazing how this thing is turning. One high up college professor in America right now who advises Washington is saying that we need not only to have some Sharia law, but we need to make a law that you cannot criticize any divine religion. Now, question is, who do you interpret as knowing what's divine? Of course, the truth of the matter is we have freedom of speech over here. I saw on the news a little bit tonight, they found a little piece of fragment of paper. And they want to call it scripture. It's not in the Bible. It never was scripture. It is not scripture. But they find that little scripture paper saying that Jesus was married. Now, that's blasphemy, but We Christians won't hit the street. We won't kill anybody over that. But you can't insult the prophet. Now what did Gideon do? He pulled down their God. And what happened? They wanted to kill him. That's still the problem right now. I did hear one newsman, and he was not a regular man. He was just in one of the comment sessions. Somebody said, well, what's wrong with them over there? Just a cartoon sets them off. A little unknown video sets them off. What's the matter? He said, they're so insecure in their religion. Well, he had it right, but nobody paid any mind to that. They're insecure because they know it's not the truth. It is not right. Anytime you got to get a sword to back your philosophy, something's wrong with your philosophy. And that's exactly what we're dealing with tonight. Now notice in verse 31, 30 and 31, you know what Gideon's father says? He invented, in fact, there's a word here. Verse 31, Joash said unto all that stood against him, will ye plead for Baal? Will ye save him? He that will plead for him, let him be put to death while it's yet morning. If he be a god, let him plead for himself. Now, I want to say to Muslims, if your God is real, why are you having to help him out? Why are you having to avenge him? If he's God and got all power, then why does he need your help? And right here, Joash was saying, if he be a god, let him plead for himself. Let him take care of himself. You don't have much of a god if a man can destroy him. Amen? And now what they had here in Baal, they had an idol. What you got today is you've got a philosophy that is so wrong. This book is amazing with this error. I mean, compared to the Word of God. It is so mixed up. And yet, to have a rule that you can be crucified if you speak evil or say anything to cause disrespect to Muhammad, but you can be killed. And folks, we got signs. I just got back off a trip. We got signs on the road where some good old-fashioned folks are putting up signs saying no Sharia law. Amen. Because we are fearing that's going to come. Yeah, right. And I don't know what the next 4 years is going to bring. It may bring that. And if it does, it puts us right into the middle of the tribulation period very soon. Yeah. I mean, the shadow of it is very real right now. Now, Joash said, let him plead for himself. Let him prove who he is. You know, that's what happened later on out on the mount where they had the ministerial association meeting. Y'all remember that one? Elijah. Remember Elijah? Remember Elijah come out there in the prophets of Baal? And Elijah, after they tried to get fire from heaven and couldn't, and Elijah prayed it down. But you remember what he said? He said, if God be God, let him be God. But you remember what the crowd said? The crowd was halted between two opinions. Right now, the polls in America is halted between two opinions. Opposite polls, as Stephen preached Sunday night. Opposite. But there's a lot at stake. Your freedom of religion is at stake. Your freedom of speech is at stake. Your future is at stake. We cannot pacify this crowd. History has proved that. They would have taken all of Europe, except Charles Martel, and he was a Frenchman, stopped them. You go back on your history and you read that, and you find that out. We need another Charles Martel to step up today, and I don't see one on the horizon. I really don't. The answer today is still what it was in Gideon's day. This false god was defeated by truth. He couldn't defend himself. He fell over on his face. He was tore down. He didn't have any power. He couldn't plead for himself. He was not a god. The God we serve today is not lacking in power. But he is letting us prove ourselves. Read Deuteronomy 13 and you'll find out where God gave him a little test and said he did this to prove you. Where you stay with my word or not. We're facing a test in America to prove whether we'll go by God's word, stand with him, or will we just kind of slip away and hide our face and let a false god be set up. I fear we're seeing too much of that. starting long way back, starting with Clinton, going on through Bush, now with Obama and Hillary, all of them trying to say to the American people, this is a great religion. We're not at war with Islam. Who in the world are you kidding? All of them saying it. In fact, I'd like to say to Mr. Obama, I saw him burning the American flag in the news. You better look close because your picture was down there too. Your picture was down there with the flag. Of all the pacifying you've been doing and the apologizing you've been doing and the tax money, $2 billion sent over to Egypt last year and more going, with all that, they're still burning your picture in the street under the American flag. Somebody needs to wake up. Need to wake up bad. You don't have to defend the true God with a sword or crucifying somebody. No, you don't. He's got all the power he needs. You see, I got a God that I don't save him, he saves me.
Amen.
Amen.
That's right.
What a difference. What a difference. You say, well, what is the answer, preacher? Well, the answer is that we get the truth out. And all that's blocking the truth today is this blood chilling, head chopping, false religion. You get to the common man behind it. You get him where he's safe. You can give him the gospel and get him saved.
Amen.
But they're having, see, the leadership is ruling over them big way and putting the crowd in the streets and all of that business. And folks, the truth of the matter is, the answer is a real problem, but the answer is not hiding from it. The answer is hitting it head on. With the truth. You know what we could do right now from the White House, from the main news media? We could stand up and have somebody give them the truth of our, compare our truth of Christianity to their falsehood. It would do something to save not only a lot of souls, but a lot of lives. It is a sad mess today, but America is bending, and we are empowering our very enemies. Our forefathers would not be able to imagine. You know, we have the Marine Corps theme, the Marine Corps song, because we sent troops over to Tripoli to stop the Muslim pirates in the days of Madison or I mixed up which president it was. That's where our Marines got started. From the halls of Mazumdari to the shores of Mazumdari to the halls of Tripoli, or vice versa. Whatever the Marine song is, we're still singing it. What did we do? We didn't coddle them. We didn't buy them off. We raised up an army and went over there and defeated them. And we did that when the main power on the ocean was a sail, wind sail. Today, with all of our power, we don't have the will to stand up against the enemy. That's what it amounts to. And that's too bad. That's too bad. So what are we supposed to do, preacher? Keep on occupying until he comes. Getting the truth out as bold as we can to everybody that we can, because that's the answer. What was the answer here with Gideon? The truth, which God was which. It wasn't Baal. Baal couldn't even get back up after they pushed him down. He couldn't even plead for himself. So Joash, the father of Gideon, said, okay, why are you defending him if he's a god? No, he's not God. And neither is the moon god they call Allah. He's not the god either. The Lord God Jehovah's in heaven, and he may be proving you and I as to whether or not we'll obey his word, whether or not we'll believe we've got it and stand on it. Let's stand on it every way that we can. All right, let's stand for prayer.